According to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's Holy Spirit at work in us. Amen. Here we are, celebrating the Holy Trinity on the one week of the liturgical year when we're thinking about a theological concept rather than a moment in the life of Christ. We could fill volumes written, excuse me. We could find volumes written to explain the Holy Trinity. And if we read all of it, we'd still find ourselves trying to explain a mystery, which by definition can't be explained because it doesn't have an answer. I don't mean a mystery in the sense of a whodunit, like in novels or movies or television programs. Those have answers if we just follow the clues, but there isn't an answer to a true mystery, so we can't explain it. We talk about God as three persons in one being. That's kind of hard for us to understand because each of us recognizes the person that we are as one and the same with our being. I think that this is especially so in the culture of individuality, which we have in this country. So, three in one is a mystery. Sometimes we have trouble explaining our faith to people who say that we don't believe in one God because we're talking about three divine persons, not to mention the fact that we describe Jesus as being both divine and human at the same time. In young people's messages, I sometimes use the example on Holy Trinity Sunday of one person having different relationships. For instance, one person can be mother, daughter, granddaughter, niece, aunt, etc., to all at the same time. She's still only one person, but she has different relationships to different other people. But even that is just an approximation. We don't experience existence the same way that God does, so we can't understand exactly what the relationship is between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And relationship is what is central here. When we are baptized, we who already have been born physically into a human family become children of God. So we take on a new relationship and we become part of what Jesus calls the kingdom of God when he speaks to Nicodemus. As Pastor Claudio Carvales of Union Theological Seminary says, our birth is as much a spiritual event as it is a material one, for there is no distinction between these two realms, right? The same way that above and below are also distinctive parts of the same reality, one is not more important than the other, since they complement each other. In the same way, our mother's wombs carry both the spirit of life and the waters of life. For Christians, without water, there is no material birth or spiritual rebirth. Flesh and spirit are woven into the same body, all wet by so much water. Human and natural bodies, water and spirit bodies. How beautiful. We are simultaneously spirit and flesh, part of God's eternal family and part of God's creative soil-based universe. As Paul wrote to the Romans, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. We are adopted into God the Father's family, and in that way, we're made free to serve the needs of the world, as Jesus, God the Son, taught us to do, and as God the Holy Spirit leads us to do from one day to the next. We hear the prophet Isaiah calling out, "Here am I, send me to do the work of God the Father among God's earthly family." We are in the midst today of our troubled world, still groping, feeling our way through the confusion, the fear, the dismay that the pandemic has brought us, while taking steps to move forward into the lives that we once lived, but that now must be different. We have lived through 4 years of denial in so many areas of life to a new national leadership that yet still is being denied by almost half of the voting public and the voted leadership of our country. We have called out the violence of our country's white culture toward our country's indigenous, Black, and Brown members. And now we face the need to change that culture so that it upholds, loves, and protects the humanity and the spirit of all members. Isaiah was devastated by being a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips, as he was in the spiritual presence of the King, the Lord of hosts. And having been cleansed and forgiven, he was ready to serve. Paul, having been thrown from his horse, taking him to persecute and kill followers of Jesus, was grasped in spirit and forgiven, and became one of the foremost proclaimers of the good news. Nicodemus, one of the leaders of the culture that opposed Jesus' earthly ministry of flesh and spirit, water and spirit, came seeking clarity and explanation, but he found complexity and confusion. Yet still, he remained present to stand up for Jesus during his trial at the Sanhedrin and also to bury him after his crucifixion. How will we respond to God's call? Whom shall I send? How will the Spirit move us? Will we step up to have our sinful lips cleansed to ready us to proclaim the good news? Will we use our creativity to envision the means we will use to meet the needs of our community? We have been forgiven. We have been cleansed. Will we commit our possessions to render our culture one of welcome, protection, membership, and full participation by all people? What will we allow the Spirit to do for us, with us, and through us? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.